pal.
The rest of the story. Harry Truman once said, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Well, that may have been easy for him at the moment. And yet even thick-hided Harry was known to have flown off the handle on occasions, especially in response to poison pen press. The fact is that no politician's political skin is impervious to the slings and arrows of his critics. Notably, one of our nation's most criticized presidents was also among the most emotionally vulnerable to criticism. I'm not talking about Harry Truman now. We're talking about another president. But then at last, when he had decided to turn his back on politics forever, he wanted to make certain that the members of the media appreciated that they didn't have him to kick around anymore. So he drafted a speech to that effect. After a troubled term of office, he decided that the world should acknowledge the abuse that he had suffered, that the world should know why the reporters had been out to get him and how silently and stoically he had endured the myriad indignities. The media attacks against him were, as he put it, and these are his words, unceasing and virulent attempts to destroy all confidence in the executive part of the government. To go gunning for him, he believed, was to go gunning for the presidency itself. Further, he explained that some of the griping was based on incomplete information, that certain actions a president may take in office will naturally confuse those not privy to presidential secrets. Mainly, this president was concerned that his message be communicated in the plainest possible language. Everybody must understand. And so he decided that he would never make another public statement. He tried to analyze his dismal relationships with members of the press. In part, the incessant invective sprang, he said, from ignorance of facts. And yet some of the lies, he insisted, were deliberate. Were malicious attempts to misrepresent his politics, I'm quoting his words now, to ruin his reputation, to hurt his feelings, and to destroy the confidence of those who had voted for him. And even after the president had spoken his parting words, his last words, while he was in the White House, there were still those in the media seeking to interpret what he had said as the last sputtering of a tyrannical monster. One journalist commented, quote, the president's speech comprised the loathings of a sick mind. Indeed, the chief executive's remarks were those of a bitter man. And yet, consider the cross that he bore. During the years of his administration, his policies had been described by some in the news media as Machiavellian, his motives as monarchical. He had been accused of all manner of improprieties, some of them shockingly false, a few of them embarrassingly true. On the whole, it had been a massive hate campaign. The newspapers had impugned every aspect of his public career, had suggested that he'd been elected as a brainless figurehead with an inept military career behind him, and then slowly turned perilously power mad. The real miracle, come to think of it, is that the presidency itself survived, despite all of the nasty things they said at the time about the man who lived to regret his public service, and whom a few journalists were certain would be remembered only as a crook. George Washington. Now you know the rest of the story.